Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
Every morning, Sakon Lasafengtong leaves his home in Sacramento before 5 a.m. so he can get to Oakland's Chinatown by 6.
It's Tuesday the 16th, but everything's calm. This is how Chinatown likes it.
He does a quick drive around the neighborhood, makes sure the streets are clean.
Trash can is all empty, which is great.
And that's just the start of his day. Sakon spends a lot of his time checking in on merchants, elders, and people who don't have housing. But now his community is getting a ton more attention because of a series of recent attacks on Asian elders. And this has changed his work.
You know, it's important to show folks that, hey, I see you, I acknowledge you, I respect you. But if you're having a bad day or, you know, you're going through things, you know, I want to acknowledge that you're present and that I see you.
Today, we're talking about Oakland's Chinatown with one community member who's trying to take care of the neighborhood and keep people safe. I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to the Bay.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
We were brought up to, you know, look after each other and love each other, especially our elders. The community was suffering already because of the pandemic. What doesn't help either was the somebody mentioned about, you know, Chinese people caused the COVID, and seeing all these attacks going on around the U.S., people were pretty frightful.
Sakon Lasafengtong is the director of housing services at Family Bridges. It's a social services nonprofit right next to Oakland's Chinatown. He's also a Chinatown ambassador, where he walks around the community to help keep the neighborhood safe and clean. He started doing this work in 2019, shortly after he served 20 years in prison.
The houseless folks that are still there, I try to, you know, continue to reach out and to always let them know that we have food, and food is always there, clothing, anything that they need. We have resources, and the merchant, they're always busy in the morning. You know, the way they work, it's amazing just watching them systematically, how they do things, how they set up shop. Because of the attacks, I have to be more alert, which means, you know, I can't just focus on, like, cleaning. I have to be able to be vigilant and look around and pay attention and listen more. So before, I used to at least have one earbud so I could listen to music, but now I can't do that anymore. I have to be more vigilant and pay more attention.
Can you talk about what you do if you're seeing a situation where someone might commit a crime, or ways that you do kind of step in to diffuse any kind of situation?
Yeah, I remember an incident where a couple guys, I say kids, you know, and wearing masks and gloves, just walking around, you know, looking suspicious. I would say I trust my instincts. You know, when I was young, when I was up to no good, these are the characteristics that I would have on me. Is I'm nervous, you know, I'm always constantly looking around. And yeah, and I would approach, you know, I would take the initiative to greet. You know, folks, have conversation is the most important. Is to, you know, I offered a N95 mask. I would say, excuse me, I noticed you don't have a mask on. And, you know, and they know what the N95, they say, hey, those are, you know, hard to get. I say, yeah, here, you know, have an extra one. Make sure you wear it, you know, and please be safe. And information is important. Like, yeah. I would say, you know, there's a lot of crimes happening in this area, so please be careful. And then that would defuse folks. And all they need is the distraction, because when you're about to commit a crime, you're so focused on it that, you know, this is the, and then You know, you're going to make it happen if you keep focusing on it.
Why do you think it's so important to the people who you are approaching and talking to that you approach them with this kind of information, as you call it, but also this certain level of care and respect?
Because we don't want to make it like we're targeting people. You know, that's not what we do. We want to approach everyone with respect. You know, it's important to show folks that, hey, I see you, I acknowledge you, I respect you. But if you're having a bad day, or, you know, you're going through things, you know, I'm going to validate you, you know, validate you as a person, as a human being, and that I want to acknowledge that you're present and that I see you.
I want to talk a little bit more about the violence that's been occurring in Chinatown, because the incidents have been getting a lot of attention. What have people in Chinatown, the people who you've talked to, been saying about these incidents?
They're saddened by it, that, you know, another human being can, you know, hurt or harm another human being for no reason, you know, or selfish reason. And a lot of time, the folks here, they just want to be left alone. They're just merchants, you know, trying to make a living to take care of them and their family. They don't want all this attention, you know. They just want to carry on with their daily work and duties and you know, go home and enjoy their time with their family. There's a lot of mixed, like, negative feelings here.
And there's also this really big piece of the story that's come out, which has focused a lot on race, which I think is something we have to address. You know, these incidents of violence have just sparked a ton of attention and conversation about race, about Black people, about Asian people, not just in the Bay Area, but nationally, really. What's that looked like for you?
Man, this is hard for me to, like, really answer. Like, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, there's not proof that, you know, Blacks are corroborating and targeting, attacking Asians. That's one thing I don't want to spark is something that's not true. You know, like, for me, coming from prison over 20 years, when rumors, you know, start like that, it causes riot. And during a riot, a lot of people get hurt. You know, it's not healthy and safe for any community to say that one community is against the other. You know, it's not fair for the folks that don't feel like that, don't feel that way. But what needs to be addressed more also is jobs. You know, is opening up schools, because these kids, they need to be in school. The media and people that are in a position to say things that is going to cause this kind of negative effect. Like, for example, you know, is the COVID is came from China. So people are scared, and, you know, they're attacking all Asian folks, thinking everybody's Chinese. It shouldn't have happened, you know. And I think those are the things that need to be addressed. Is, like, if you're in a position of power or influence, you know, you can't be saying or putting negative things out there so that, you know, another human being will attack other human beings.
What kinds of responses have you seen from the broader Bay Area community?
Yeah, the response is mostly positive. You know, the other day on Saturday, they had a rally out here at Madison Park. And, you know, there's outpouring of support, love, unity, solidarity. I mean, for me, with Asians and Black community, we always been solid.
Right? And that we're also here to discuss that it's through healing, coming together, that we're going to have solutions.
I just, you know, I'm amazed, you know, of folks that from every background and walk of life came out to this rally.
I say to our Asian and Black siblings, we need to stand together when the world tries to divide us. We cannot afford another life to be lost. Thank you, everybody. And to my home, the Bay, I love you. Mahal kita.
You know, I feel like I've seen you know, GoFundMe sites and people coming out supporting online. There is that event this past weekend. What do you feel like the Chinatown community needs right now?
At the moment, I think they probably need money to help pay bills, because during the pandemic, you know, a lot of families that have businesses here are hurt. So they need us monetary support. And that's the one of the biggest thing I could say is money, and a lot more volunteer for pickup, for cleaning up and graffiti removals.
So Cone, why do you do this work? Why is this important to you?
It's important because when I was younger, I used to terrorize my community, you know, with like gunshots. And I'm also responsible for the loss of life. And by promoting nonviolence, you know, I'm hoping that it can save a life. And by helping clean the community, you know, I'm giving back to the communities. You know, it might not be the community that I grew up in, but it's a community. You know, by keeping it safe, like I said, you know, it could keep people from harm, and you know, keep people from losing their life over, you know, nonsense. So that's why I enjoy doing what I do, is, you know, just helping folks, helping people.
Cone, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, just, you know, to stop the violence against Asians, stop violence, period. And if folks don't know how to deal with their hurt or their stress or whatever they're going through, you know, there's always people to reach out to and get the help that you need so that you don't have to harm people.
Thanks to Sakone Lasafengtong, the Director of Housing Services at Family Bridges. This episode was produced by Shaylin Martos, myself, and our editor, Alan Montecilio. The Bay is made by your local public media station, KQED. I'm Devin Katayama. That's it from us. Talk to you next time.